Would you please stand with me, Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 27. I know we have spent a number of weeks here in Luke 23, and someone may say, wow, you're spending a lot of time. Folks, this is the most important event in all of history. The fact that Jesus Christ was willing to go and die on the cross for you and for me. The fact that we have salvation through his shed blood. And what a blessing, what a privilege it is to know Christ as our Savior. Beginning at verse 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. May I say right here, I weep for the children of America today. They're spoiled beyond measure. They want everything imaginable. They don't know what discipline is. If you look at them cross-eyed, they cry. They are whiners. And you say, well, not my kid. Well, I wasn't talking about your kid. But I tell you what, all you have to do is go to Toys R Us and watch the kids. Go to any of the stores and watch them. Listen to them as they talk. And what we have done, we have taken away discipline. We have told them, we have been told that if you discipline them, you're going to hurt their little psyche. Let me tell you something. Who's telling you that? The Bible tells us that we are to punish our children when they do wrong. Society says, don't, you'll hurt them. Who's telling you don't? See, what we find is, as Brother Gary says, is that the devil has influenced us, and so we have children who have no idea what it means to be responsible. We have children that are growing up, going to college, who are protesting their professors, grading their tests other than with a top grade because they feel like they have been entitled to something better. And so what we need to weep for our children, the number one reason is so many of them have no clue as to Jesus Christ. They have no clue about the Bible. They have no clue what it means to be attentive to the Lord. But it says there in verse 28, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we have the privilege of having the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that we can sing the songs of praise. We thank you that we can give it an offering. But Lord, we are so thankful that we can gather around the Word of God and see what it has to say. Now bless it, we pray. May the Father be glorified. May the Son be praised. And may the Holy Spirit move. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find here in chapter 23 the story of Pilate and Christ. And in verse 1 of chapter 23 it says, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. We find here Pilate's privilege. No one is ever the same after being brought face to face with Jesus. And may I say this, that once the Word of God has been proclaimed and a person hears it, a decision must be made. Now many will say, well, I'll think about it or I'll wait to another time. But the fact is we have no guarantee of another time. I was listening yesterday, and they were talking about a professional wrestler. I don't know the man, but apparently he was quite popular, and he died at the age of 61 of a heart attack. 61. You know, that strikes mighty home, that close to home, because I'm only going to be 61 for another 16 days, and then I'm going to be 60. Can't we go at some point backwards? You know, Brother Bob back there says I'm 16, which means next year I'm going to be 26. I don't like that idea either. But we find that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. No guarantee. My wife and I are planning to leave tomorrow at 5:45 in the morning, and we're going south. That's our plans, but we have no guarantees it's going to happen. See, you better know the Lord Jesus Christ today, for today is the day of salvation. We find that we have Pilate's question, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Who are you?" Now, he may have heard of Jesus before. He may have read it in the newspaper. He may have seen it on CNN. There is this Jesus, and there's a lot of commotion around him, and he may have heard about him, but now he has him in his presence. And there are the accusations against him. And he says, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And according to John 18:36, Jesus says, "To this end have I been born, and for this cause came I into the world." His desire is to be your king. His desire is to be your Lord. But only you can give him that privilege. We find number three, Pilate's confession, where he says, "I find no fault in this man." Jesus, in his early ministry, asked the question, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" May I say this, there are a lot of people that don't like Christians. You say, why wouldn't they like Christians? Number one, they don't like Christians because you use this as being the truth, that this is the authority. They don't like the fact that we want to invite them to church and to get involved in the work of the Lord. They don't like these things, and they don't want to be around us. I remember when Donna was doing cakes professionally, wedding cakes in particular, and we would sometimes, instead of charging a fee for the deposit on the different things that were done with the cake, the fountains, the plates, the pillars, etc., we would exchange it for the meal. And we would show up. We didn't go to the wedding, of course, but we would show up for the food. That's the best part anyways, isn't it? And we would be put at a table, and you know, the people would be talking to us until they realized we weren't drinking. And then Donna would say something like, "Oh yeah, he's the pastor." Oh wow, that was like throwing water on the fire. You know, I was suddenly excluded from the whole conversation. You know, people sometimes, they just get uncomfortable around Christians. Is there a problem with that? There should be no problem with that. Our desire is to be close to the Lord. That should be our desire. But his confession was, "I find no fault in him." 1 Peter 2:22-24, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Folks, salvation is only through Jesus Christ. We see Pilate's evasion. He sent him to Herod. Many people don't want to have to make a decision about Jesus. "I'll do it later," some have said. But later never comes. Pilate's proposal when Jesus was brought back from Herod was, "I will chastise him and release him." Now, can you imagine saying to a man and wish you find no fault, "I'm going to chastise him"? That doesn't mean that he was going to shake his finger at Jesus and said, "You've been a naughty boy." No, that meant that he was going to be taken out and beaten with a whip. And he'd be a bloody mess. This was his idea of chastisement. His idea, some have said, was to make the people feel sorry for him so that he could then release him. But Pilate's final decision was he gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he delivered Jesus to their will. That was his final decision. What will be our final decision concerning Christ? But let's look again now at verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Bewailed, they protested that this was happening. They lamented, they moaned to the fact that Christ had to suffer. Can you imagine your loved one, someone you cared for greatly, has been beaten with a cat of nine tails. The clothes that are on him are shredded. There's blood pouring out everywhere. Can you imagine how you would feel? And they moaned and they lamented. But we see Jesus, even while in agony and pain, heading for the cross, taking time to warn the daughters of Jerusalem. But Jesus, turning unto them, it says in verse 28, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Weep for your children because of the world they will live in. Vile, yes. Vulgar, of course. Cruel, certainly. But worse, Christ rejecting. We live in a world that has a hard time following authority. But we come by it naturally, don't we? Didn't Adam and Eve receive instructions? And were they rebellious? And they ate of the fruit they were told not to? And since then, rebellion has run wild throughout our society. And as Brother Paul said in the Sunday school hour, the further we move ourselves away from the Word of God, the worse we'll get. The worse we'll get. Our Lord knew that due to the revolting of the Jews against the Roman government, that Caesar would call for the destruction of Jerusalem and the killing of thousands of Jewish people. In 70 AD, Titus would come in and level the city of Jerusalem, including the great temple. The people would say, as Christ was on the cross, "Let the blood of this man be upon us and our children." And it has been down through the centuries. The blood has been on them. But now we come to Calvary. Notice what it says in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. We sing the song occasionally at Calvary. When I used to be the song director and my dad the preacher, quite often I would end, or not end, but the song that the choir went down on, I would have number 67 at Calvary or number 79 at the cross regularly. And that was because I could hit all the notes. And as the choir went down, I would be left up here all by myself. And you don't know how bad I shake up here because I'm up here by myself. You say, "Well, Pastor, you've been in the ministry for a long time. That doesn't mean I still don't shake." That's why I'm glad we have one of these wood pulpits. I don't know what these people who have plastic ones do when you can see them. You just see me shaking all the time. But at Calvary, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, when I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. In verse 4, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The song at the cross, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. In verse 32, we find it's a place of guilt. Now, I don't know how many days of the week they took the prisoners out to this Golgotha, to this Calvary. I don't know, but it was a place where they would take the guilty. And they would take them and they would crucify them. And we find here that Jesus was taken with two other malefactors. And they were going to be taken there to die. Remember, Jesus Christ came to die. We celebrate his birth. And he received gifts. And we receive gifts at the Christmas season. But he came to die. To die for you and for me. He was our sacrifice. He paid our ransom. He paid the price so that we could enter into heaven's glory. It was a place of guilt. Calvary was a place of cruelty. Cruelty. Do you find it interesting that one of the symbols that we think of Christianity with is a cross? We have a cross here, and I would say most Bible-believing churches probably have a cross somewhere in their auditorium, a cross, but it was a symbol of pain. It was a symbol of death. Notice verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. We know that they often were beaten. They were bleeding. They would have to carry at least part of the cross to the hill. And they would take them up and they would be secured by nails and ropes. You've seen pictures. You've seen what it was like. They were bleeding. The cross then was put up and it would fall into a hole. Now you can imagine you're hanging there with maybe three nails and some rope and they drop you into a hole. Do you think that would feel very good? It would be very painful. Their bodies had been stripped. They would be in the sun. So it would be hot on them. As the blood was settling on their body and maybe some of the wounds would begin to stop bleeding. And as you know, the body would slowly move down because they would lose strength in their arms. And there was usually, as some pictures show, a little peg or a little piece of wood so they could push back up so they could breathe again. And when they pushed themselves back up, they would reopen their wounds. The flies would come. The bees would come. There would be the mocking, the laughter. There would be the bets as to how long they would live. There was a place of cruelty. And see, the Romans figured if you see what is happening to them, it can happen to you. Well, they would hope it would serve as a sign to don't do what he did. It was a place of cruelty, but it was also a place of compassion. You say a compassion? Yes, notice verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Have you ever needed to be forgiven for something that you've done? Now, I don't want anybody to stand up and say, yes, Pastor, I did this. My wife says, I tell you too much about myself. Have you ever done something stupid? I remember I was in the car. I had my two sons and two other kids from school. And I was doing 35 in a 25. That's not a good thing, is it? one of Sterling Heights' finest. He was down there at the end of the street. And as I was going down, all he did was turn on his lights. He didn't move, he just turned on his lights. And I said, oh no. Not only was I going to be pulled over, but my two sons were there and two of their friends. So I pulled over and he walked over to me and he asked for, you know, what they do, your driver's license, your proof of insurance. What's the other one? Oh, registration. And he says, I'll be back. And I thought, okay. He came back. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I knew I shouldn't be going that fast. I find you never complain. You never say, what are you doing here? Or do anything derogatory. You humble yourself, right? Now, girls can cry. I thought about crying. I really did. And he handed me back my license, and he says, it looks good. He says, I see you're a resident of Sterling Heights. He handed me back the registration and the proof of insurance. He says, these are all good. He says, you know, he says, I don't want to give you your first ticket. What was he saying to me? He was saying, I'll forgive you. Isn't that what he was saying? He was showing me mercy. He was forgiving me. I wanted to get out and shake his hand and give him some money to go to McDonald's. I was excited, but firsthand, my son saw mercy. He forgave me. I've often wondered who that police officer was. I don't know. I don't know his name. But thank you. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is saying, Father, let these that do this awful deed be shown the mercy of salvation. I can believe this, that those who nailed the nails into his hands could be in heaven. I believe those that mocked him could be in heaven. You will say, how, Pastor? If they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, in the eyes of God, sin is what? Sin. It is sin. We categorize sin. The Lord sees it as sin. And he's willing to forgive us our sins if we are willing to ask for salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, what? Gift. I tell you what, my birthday's coming. I'm going to be 62 years old. I'm not bitter about that. But I may be getting my gift this week. You know, we like gifts, don't we? Be honest about it. You like gifts. My dad is always saying, oh, you don't have to get me anything. What do you think would happen if I didn't give him anything? I guarantee you he'd say, what? No gifts? We like gifts, but we can have the unspeakable gift. That gift of salvation, that gift that Jesus Christ paid for with his own blood. But as with any gift, you have to receive it, don't you? You have to receive it. Let me give you a sad story. Donna's brother, and I hope you don't mind if I say this. I'll get in trouble when I get home probably. But Donna's brother and his wife divorced. And Chuck became angry at things, and I understand that. You that have been through a divorce, you understand the emotions that are involved in that. But he stopped seeing his kids. He had two sons, Nathan and Marty. And at Christmas times, the gifts would come, wouldn't they? And the boys would come, and Chuck wouldn't. He was supposed to come. He'd been invited. He was told when it was. The gifts were there. What'd they do with their gifts? They left them there. They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted their dad. They didn't want his gifts. See, a gift is only a gift if the person that's supposed to receive it accepts it. When it comes to salvation, we have been offered the gift, but it's only good if we take it. I hope that you've accepted the gift of salvation. I hope that you have accepted it. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, writes that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Aren't you glad that the gospel has been preached to the Gentiles? Every one of you should have said amen. It's been preached to us, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We think we have a lot here. Wait till we get to heaven. And we can spend time with God. We can spend time with those saints that have gone before us. How many of you have someone waiting for you on the other side? I can't wait to see my brother. He's been gone 20 years. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see my mother. She's been gone a year and a half. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to see my great-grandmother. You know, we have people that are waiting for us on the other side. But who's going to be there? Jesus Christ is going to be there. What's the song say? And he's going to take me by the hand and lead me through. What a day it's going to be. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ. Calvary was a place of compassion. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Titus 3, 4 through 6. That the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let me read once again verses 32 through 34. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song is 388, is You're All on the Altar. What have you given to Christ? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your soul? 388, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that the invitation time could be of a blessing to each one. And if there's someone here today that has never accepted thee as Savior, Lord, we pray that today would be that day, that they would get things right with you. And Lord, we pray for any that maybe have drifted away, those that need, Lord, something in their lives that just need to be changed. Lord, we pray that they even would be willing to come to the altar and to pray. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen.